Y'all ready to talk some Thor Love and Thunder spoilers? I am sure that you are. I've got my full spoiler-filled review of the movie coming up right now on 15 Minutes of Marvel.
There was an idea.
Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
We do this all day.
What are they called again?
Annulax batteries.
Harvey Larry batteries.
As far as I'm concerned, that's America's ass.
I control the truth! Mysterio is the truth!
Boom. You looking for this?
What is up? What is up? And welcome back to another episode of 15 Minutes of Marvel, the only podcast that gives you Marvel reviews, news, and rumors in pretty much 15 minutes. I'm your host, Ethan Simi, and today on the pod, I'm giving you my full spoiler-filled review of Thor Love and Thunder. Now that you've had time to see it, I wanted everybody to get a chance to enjoy it, to go back maybe a second or a third time if you wanted to, before I talk spoilers, before I let you know my thoughts on the post-credit scenes, the final acts, the fates of our characters and major moments in the movie. So I wanted to give you some time to do that. And now that you've had the time, we're diving in, we're going spoiler filled. If you still haven't seen the movie, I have a spoiler free review that I recorded last week. Go check that out before you, go dive into the spoiler filled, because I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to spoil this movie for you because, you know, as with all Marvel projects, there are things to spoil. But let's get right into it. I'm not going to rehash my review from last week, my spoiler-free review. I feel like I tackled everything enough, and I talked about kind of all of our characters, the pacing issues, the tone issues, the heavy reliance on comedy, especially in the first act, not enough character development moments. But there were some highlights. Gore the God Butcher was a major highlight. Even though I wanted more, thought he was great. I did like Thor's personal story. I liked the Jane Foster story. Things like that that I've kind of already talked about. I'll dive deeper into a little bit more of that right now. But let's start with the final act. I kind of just want to go into this real quick because I didn't get the chance to talk about it last week, and this is the place to do it. I think the final act is by far and away the best part of this movie. I think it is the most entrancing, the most electric, the most energetic, and definitely the strongest when it comes to emotion mixed with action. And that is what made Thor Ragnarok so good. There was always an emotional element. There was always something at stake throughout the entire movie that really held up. This movie, Thor Love and Thunder, feels like it only really captures that in the final act. So I kind of want to start where we get into this massive fight with Gore the God Butcher at the end, right? Thor is going to save these children from Gore's grasp, essentially, from his little trap, his jail with spikes that he has made. And I kind of want to pick up right there because Thor leaves Jane Foster and says, look, you cannot come with me because it will kill you. You can't do it. I need to save you. And I like this storyline for Thor because we continue to hearken to the fact that he truly does care about Jane. He really does with all of his heart and all of his being. And this is what he must do in order to protect her. And we especially get to capitalize on this at the very end of this, when he mentions why would he spend time with Gore and fighting him when he can spend time with Jane and what might be her last moments. So I wanted to pick up where the kids get Thor powers. Now, initially, the kids to me are a huge MacGuffin of this movie. They are a massive ploy. It's just a flat-out reason for Thor to come to Gore. And we know that Gore's main objective, even though he is a God Butcher, and I really liked the intro to Gore. I thought that was a wonderful introduction scene, and I thought it really set the tone for Gore as a human, as a God Butcher, and his lack of faith and lack of trust in gods themselves. I think is a very interesting metatext on where we are as a society or humanity or whatever you want to take it as. I liked that initially, but we kind of know that Thor and the children ultimately are just being used. They're just tools. They're just being used so Gore can get to eternity. So Gore can get to the gates of eternity and essentially make his wish that all gods will die. I understand. That makes sense from an efficiency perspective. I totally get it, because why would you go by hand and kill all these gods when the key to unlock the Gate of Eternity is the Bifrost? So why not just steal that key and then you can wish all the gods be dead? That makes sense. It doesn't necessarily make for a really interesting prerogative for our villain. Honestly, it seems like he's kind of just skipping over Thor. And there is the moment kind of in the initial, New Asgard battle that we get with these shadow monsters, where Gore does hold the Necro Sword to Thor's neck and almost kills him. I get that. There are some stakes here, but it just feels like they're being used as big MacGuffins. That would be my one big call out for this aspect. And especially from Gore's storyline, is that he never seems worried about Thor. He never seems motivated about Thor. And Thor seems way more concerned with him than he does with Thor. And so I think that is doesn't always play out very, very well. I do, and back to my original point that I started talking about like 2 minutes ago, I do like how Thor gave the children Thor powers. That was pretty fucking cool. I thought it was going to be lame, and I was like, oh man, here we go. This is going to get pretty cheesy. And I was like, no, that's pretty fucking cool, actually. There's some cheesy moments where I was like, oh, okay, that's all right. I was good without that little CGI, or I was good without the camera angle or whatever. But I think overall, I think that was pretty cool. I like that he can call his powers, and then he empowered all of these kids to get Thor powers, and that's how they beat these shadow monsters. I think that was kind of fun. In the same scene, obviously the same battle, Jane Foster, Mighty Thor, does come to the rescue. She does show up. I really liked in this movie how Mjolnir has multiple pieces and parts and can break apart and then reform. That was very, very cool. She shows up and they essentially work together to destroy the Necro Sword, effectively destroying Gore and sucking the life out of him. But little do they know that Stormbreaker has already opened the Gate to Eternity and Gore is already walking in. And this is another interesting scene. 100% spoilery here as well, which is why I saved it for this pod. That once we get to this scene where we're in eternity, essentially, and Gore is about to wish for everything, all of these gods to be killed. I have a couple of thoughts on this, so I'm going to try to keep them straight because I'm just riffing here. I'm just gunning it straight from the hip, straight shooter right now. And the more that I vamp, the less focused I become because I'm recording this quite late at night. So when Gore gets to eternity, I wish Gore was fueled a little bit more by vengeance. I wish he was a little bit more menacing. And I say that because his flip at the end, he kind of switches when Thor and Jane are like, Thor essentially tells him, like, you are missing love. That is what you are missing in your life. And yes, that makes sense from a storyline perspective. Like, you're vengeful because you had a lack of love and you lost your daughter. And that totally checks out. He says, you have lost your love. And then Gore mentions, I'm dying and there will be nobody here to care for my daughter if I wish to have my daughter back. And Jane is just like, yeah, there will. And then he's like, oh, hell yeah. Okay, cool. Then I'm going to wish her back. I don't know. That felt like a really, really quick flip for me. I would have really enjoyed, I guess, maybe a little bit longer runtime to explore a moral gray area for both Thor and Gore, because I feel like they do have overlapping allegiances here. And it's mentioned very briefly about how the gods have let Thor down as well in the past. And why would he believe in these gods? And that just was not explored enough for me. I would have loved the Gore ideology to be kind of ingrained in Thor, and I would have loved to him to be maybe slightly persuaded and kind of felt and realized what Gore was going through, instead of just being like, you're missing love, and Gore is like, you're right, I'm missing love, and that was that. So that's how that came across for me. I am curious to hear what all of you think, if it kind of came across a little bit differently for you or not. So we get to eternity. Jane passes away into Valhalla. I thought that was pretty cool. I like that she, you know, is a god now, and Thor calls her a god, which was awesome. She passes away into Valhalla, and we get Gore's daughter. And Gore's daughter is there and present, and Gore asks Thor, like, you know, will you care for her? And he nods, and he says yes. I thought that entire sequence, minus what I just called out, I think that entire sequence is actually quite good in the movie, and gives us ample emotional time with our characters to understand how they feel and to sit with them for a couple of minutes without having a quirky one-liner or without battling or having some kind of side happening going on to detract us from that moment. Now, after that, I thought was a really good deliverance on the meaning of Love and Thunder. This totally caught me off guard, and I was a sucker for it. I'm going to admit, I was a sucker for it. The fact that Love and Thunder refers to Gore the God Butcher's daughter and Thor, Love and Thunder. Loved that reveal at the very end. Thought it was really powerful and it worked really well. So much fun to see Thor as a dad, even though we see it for like 2 minutes, literally tops. He is really fun as a dad. I'm really interested and I'm very curious where we are going to go with this in the future, because we could venture into some pretty interesting avenues and see where this goes. I don't want to predict anything. I don't want to get out there yet because I have no idea what it will entail, but I loved the Love and Thunder aspect of things. And I really did appreciate how the entire goal, the entire theme of the movie is focused on love, right? And whether that love comes from someone you actually, you know, love as a partner, like Jane and Thor, or a daughter, in Gore's case, love is always the present thing. And so when we have our characters pass away, when we have Gore die, when we have Jane die, we still have love, because Thor loves this daughter as his own. And you know, she refers to him as Uncle Thor. I thought that was really interesting and really, really fun moment of the movie. Let's talk post-credit scenes. Actually, let's not. Let's hold off. I don't want to talk post-credit scenes quite yet. A couple other things I want to mention. Forgot to talk about the soundtrack in last week's review of the movie. I like the soundtrack. Love the 80s vibe. I think the 80s aesthetic is really great. The Guardians, I briefly touched on them last week. They kind of just took off. Still a little bit bummed about that, honestly. They just kind of left. Zeus dies. That's a thing that happens. The entire Zeus Olympus thing, quite funny. The first time that Zeus mentions an orgy, thought it was funny. The second, third, fourth, maybe fifth time, I didn't think it was quite as funny. So that didn't work for me on all levels, but I did like the battle in Olympus. I thought that was very cool. And the fact that Valkyrie just gets fucking supercharged, Korg loses his body but retains his face, I thought was quite funny. And Zeus dies, which is massive. And of course, this leads us to our post-credit scene, our first post-credit scene. So I've spoiled the movie for you. Now I'm going to spoil the post-credit scene. So if you somehow managed to get this far in the pod and you haven't seen the post-credit scenes, you've been warned, because it's going down right now. So we stumble across Zeus talking about Thor and how he, you know, nobody reveres the gods like they used to. Nobody fears the gods like they used to. And then Zeus says something like, oh, do you understand, or do you hear what I'm saying? Whatever. And the camera turns, and who do we get? Lo and behold, we get Hercules. And I thought that was pretty fucking cool, honestly, because he kind of comes up from like this Hercules power position and he's wielding his stuff. And he's like, you know, he says, you know, whatever, you're right. Or I don't know what he says, because I was so hyped up at the moment. And it is none other than Brett Goldstein from Ted Lasso, which is wonderful casting. I'm very excited to see what Hercules brings to the table for the MCU, especially in the realm of gods, I think is interesting. And sounds like Hercules is gunning for Thor. Like, we're going to have a pretty solid battle here on our hands. Great post-credit scene. Really a lot of fun. Second post-credit scene, I actually liked it. And that might be a hot take. I feel like people are like, it didn't really do it for me. Of course, it was no Hercules, but I mean, I thought it was pretty fun in general. We see Jane get to Valhalla, and who do we see there with her? Heimdall. I thought that was a really nice touch to see Heimdall again. Definitely by far and away the most underutilized character in the MCU, just like ever. But I like how he was like, welcome to Valhalla. I thought that was a nice touch to ingrain in us, like, Jane is a god. Jane did things that gods do, and now she is in Valhalla. And I don't know if it's setting up anything. I don't know if it means really anything other than like what it means on the surface. But I still thought it was pretty cool to see Heimdall again and for him to say, like, thank you for taking care of my son. I thought that was really important for like, you know, the theme and the message of the movie. And I'm curious to see if we just like spend some more time in Valhalla. I thought that was kind of cool. I thought it was pretty neat, honestly. But curious what all of you think about these post-credit scenes as well. A couple other quick things I wanted to touch on before I wrap up here. The Shadow Realm fight I thought was really, really fun. I love Taika's use of desaturation and no color and some color and then a lot of color. I thought that was really fun. And the choreography between Gore and all of our heroes, that looked really, really good. Obviously, Valkyrie wielding Zeus's lightning bolt. Oh my God. Power. I'm getting hot thinking about it. Holy cow. That is incredible stuff. Really, really fun stuff there. Jane's storyline as well. I briefly touched on it last week, but I thought her cancer storyline was played really, really well. Very touching. I have a close friend who has cancer right now and is dealing with the effects of that. And, you know, I thought that storyline was important, played out very well, and hit close to home for me personally. So that was cool to see kind of her battle with that. Again, I just feel like at the end of the day, there just wasn't enough character study time. There just wasn't enough inward character development, and I felt like we were hindered a lot by, you know, either a big battle or chasing Gore to the next location or the constant one-liners. Obviously, this is not the last time I'll see this movie. I will go see it again. I'm sure that I will, and there are moments that I will like, and there are moments that I still won't like. But I think this is a pretty solid entry. I do think it is better than Multiverse of Madness. Again, that might come across as a hot take. I'm not quite sure. I think it's better than Multiverse of Madness. I believe Thor Ragnarok is definitely better. And now that we have four Thor movies, I guess we're gonna have to rank them at some point in time. We're gonna have to talk about that and figure out where that stands. I think there's highlights, there's disappointments. Overall, an interesting and entertaining movie. Nonetheless, curious to see what Hercules means for the MCU. I want to spend some more time in Valhalla. I hope this is not the last time we see Natalie Portman. And Thor can just give his powers to people, which is kind of really, really, really cool. What did you think of Thor, Love and Thunder? What did you think of the post-credit scenes? What do you think of Hercules? What do you think of everything that is coming in the future for the MCU? Let me know. Hit me up on Twitter at 15MinuteMarvel. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any major podcast platform. Huge shout out to the patrons of the show: Brandon Clark, Alan Cole Peacock, Corellia Christina, TJ Zorich, Jessica, Carlos Freitas, and the newest patron, Joey Lett. Thank you all so, so much for your support of the pod. I will see you back here next time. I'm Ethan Simi, and remember, always go higher, further, and faster.